shit.
How your adult brain keeps you from healing. It's wild how long you can go without realizing something was traumatic. One of the biggest reasons we miss our trauma or minimize it even after we see it is because we're looking at it through the eyes of our adult mind, the part that explains, softens, or rewrites the story to protect us, but also keeps us from truly feeling and healing what happened. Let's break down the ways this shows up. Before the realization, how the mind blocks awareness of childhood trauma. These are the ways your adult mind protects you from realizing what really happened. You tell yourself it wasn't that bad because it didn't look extreme. You define trauma by the event instead of the impact, but trauma isn't about what happened. It's about what your nervous system came to believe as a result of what happened. You focus on what your parents did do instead of what you needed and didn't get. They took care of my physical needs. Your adult mind confuses empathy for your parents with permission to dismiss your pain. You rationalize their behavior instead of feeling your pain. They were under a lot of stress. They didn't know any better. They did their best. These explanations protect your parents, but they disconnect you from your younger self. You mislabel trauma responses as personality traits. You say you're just sensitive, really independent, or bad with conflict, not realizing that these were adaptations your younger self made to survive. In the healing process, how the adult mind still gets in the way. Even after you realize you have trauma, your adult mind can keep blocking the deeper work. You try to figure it out instead of feel it. You read the books, analyze patterns, and intellectualize your past, but still feel disconnected from the part of you that actually lived it. You minimize or reframe too soon. You say they meant well or they didn't know better before you fully felt the grief, anger, or betrayal underneath. You over-identify with logic and performance. You think, I get it now, or I'm doing the work, but your body still doesn't feel safe, and the part of you that needed compassion still feels unseen. You judge your younger self through a critical lens. You call yourself dramatic or needy for being impacted, as if having insight should have made the pain disappear. The adult mind doesn't just block us from seeing childhood trauma. It can also prevent us from recognizing abuse or harm we experience as adults. Whether it's with family, partners, friends, or at work, we often talk ourselves out of what we know was harmful. You think insight cancels impact. You assume that because you could logically identify what was happening, that was manipulative, that was gaslighting, that was abuse. It somehow means that it didn't leave a lasting wound. You downplay it because you should have known better. You shame yourself for not walking away sooner, not setting a boundary, or for getting hurt again, and you confuse self-blame with accountability. You convince yourself that because you had a choice, it can't be trauma. Unlike childhood, you weren't helpless. But choice doesn't cancel harm. You can still be deeply impacted, even if you chose to stay. So questions for y'all would be, which of these patterns have you seen in yourself and which ones are you still perhaps struggling with today? So for me, you know, before, I mean, this is exactly why I spent so many years in so much pain and not realizing that the reason I was in pain was, and the reason I kept finding myself in these same situations over and over again was because of my childhood. I thought that because there was no like physical, verbal, sexual abuse, that there was no abuse. I thought that because, and it's interesting for me because it's like the adult mind was rationalizing things as a little kid. Like this started happening for me as a little kid. Because it's like I had an awareness of what was going on. Like I knew what was going on. I was involved in what was going on. I knew that my mom was an alcoholic, even though I didn't fully grasp what that meant. It was like I was told at 7 years old that my mom was an alcoholic. And so on a conscious level, the thought was like, this isn't about my mom not loving me. Like this is because my mom has this problem. Like my mom is an alcoholic. And so it's like I never internalized or thought that how could that possibly have impacted me and making me feel like I'm, you know, inherently flawed or unworthy or unlovable, because I didn't realize that my nervous system was internalizing all of that. I didn't recognize that my dad, you know, going away for work and leaving me at home with my mom was a form of abandonment, because I just justified it as like he's leaving because he has to support his family. And I just thought that all of the good heavily outweighed any of the bad, because we did fun things, we went on vacations, because of all the things. I just thought that all of that canceled it out. And I also thought because I could talk about what happened, without getting upset that that also meant that that it didn't impact me. And I also really put a lot of emphasis on the fact that, like, because I became the problem, since I was the focus of the family, that somehow that then also canceled out everything that I had experienced as a child. So it was really hard for me to see it all. But what I want to speak to, as far as I specifically added this last part about how it can prevent us from seeing the abuse and trauma that we experience in adulthood. And I think this has really showed up for me in everything that I've experienced with my parents over the past 10 years, but like more specifically, just what's happened over the past couple years of just thinking that this insight cancels out the impact. And I think that this experience of like being able to intellectually name what's happening, but still feeling absolutely gutted by it is like one of the most like disorienting parts of this like trauma recovery, that we can be, you know, years into our journey and we're equipped with the language and the awareness, but we're still like deeply impacted by the same dynamics. And, you know, I think that then the shame can come in. It's like, why does this still hurt? Or, you know, I should be beyond this. And especially when it's coming from your family, it's like your nervous system never really gets a break. And these younger parts of yourself that, you know, even though you're healing and you're in recovery and you can name it, there's still these wounded younger parts of yourself that have not fully yet healed, that are still getting wounded, you know, over and over and over again. And I think that for me, being able to label what my parents are doing or spot it for what it is gives me a sense of control in a way. And it puts me in this role that is so old and familiar of like being the observer, you know, like being the analyzer, being the one who gets it. But I think that it prevents me from like fully feeling the emotional weight of it all. It's like, if I understand it, then I don't have to feel it, if that makes sense. But like the grief and the betrayal and the heartbreak of it all is really, really heavy and hard. And so I just think that there's a lot of pain there that I haven't necessarily fully felt the gravity of or the impact of, just because I kind of rationalize it away or try to intellectualize it. So that's my part.
This topic hits me, and one of these really hit me and almost made me upset, actually, and got an emotional reaction out of me, was should have known better. God, during the 80s and 90s when I grew up, you should have known better. We knew what to do, what not to do, where to go, and I just kept going. I kept being abused, and that abuse went at a childhood. For me, it was I was silenced. I was silenced for so many years, and that's the reason why I'm a shit show today. Amongst other things. And then just last week, I haven't seen my therapist in a few weeks because she canceled and I had set an appointment the week before. So it's been a few weeks since I've seen her, and a lot of things happened. And I walked in the meeting, you know, and she comes and gets me and she's like talking to me, and she can kind of see how I am, right? I was quiet, not just the chipper, happy-go-lucky before I come to the meeting, and I unleashed. I let some shit out. And she was like, I need you to hang on. This is going to be a bumpy one. And that's all this is it's the bumpiest journey I've ever been on. And to have this pain of knowing that you should have known better. Should have known better, Andrew. Should have known. Should have asked for help. And I didn't know all that. And that's what the hardest thing is to deal with all this trauma. Especially on fucking weekly basis that we do this with. And I'm so grateful to be here all the time. So thank you guys.
The analogy of the iceberg in the ocean comes to mind, where, you know, when you see this iceberg above water, you think you're seeing the entirety of it and it's just huge. And then you pan underneath the water and there's all of this iceberg that is not exposed. And that's, I think of that as where all of my unhealed, unprocessed emotions and unhealed wounds are below the water there. And it's when I'm triggered by an event that I get sucked down underneath that water. And sometimes it can feel scary, like I'm not able to breathe, like I don't know what's happening, and I get really frightened because I don't know what I'm going to discover inside this trigger. And I learned a long time ago when I started on this journey that every time I am triggered, that's an opportunity for me to heal. But it's very scary because I never really know what's going to come up, what I'm going to experience. And most recently, my mom, I've been no contact for a little over a year from my whole family. I'm also the scapegoat. And just sort of out of left field, no notice, she sent me a meme on through Facebook Messenger. And it was very calculated and it was pretty cool. And at first, I was able to stay in that cognitive space and be like, well, you know, this makes sense and this is okay. And I arrived at this familiar space of compassion that I have come to just feel good about. And then the next day, it like moved layers below. So it went from, you know, above water with the iceberg to way below. And the pain was just, I mean, I didn't even want to get out of bed. And it's like, God, I don't want to feel this. I don't want to sit with this. I want to do something to make this go away so I can feel better. But I know that if I run from it, I'm not going to heal. I have to stay with it. And when I say it, I have to stay with the little girl that is frozen in time with this wounding. And I reached out to a couple of ladies in the shit show, and one of them said, you know, it makes so much sense that this is hitting you as hard as it's hitting you, because she was your main perpetrator. And it's like, that's right. That's correct. And when I think of just being a little tiny girl, defenseless to the madness and the chaos and the abuse, you know, it makes sense that it knocked me down, pulled me, if you will, under the water. And it took me a little bit to remember, oh, wait a minute, I'm learning. You know, I have skills to help me through this. And so then I was doing breath work, emotional release breath work, and did some other inner child healing modalities. And today I did the whole Ho'oponopono prayer for probably 30 minutes, just connecting to this little tiny version of me that I get to now show up for and heal. And then I sort of return to this space of compassion where, you know, what would I want from my mom? And, you know, as an unhealed adult child, that's what she is. What would I want for her? I would want for her to be healed. But rather than focusing on her and putting all of my energy toward her, I get to focus on me, and I get to heal me, and I get to connect with this precious little girl inside. And as I navigate and promote that healing, it's like the waters around me. Now I'm creating this ripple effect of healing, and that goes out. And that's my contribution. That's my contribution to humanity, is when I can heal, others can heal. And maybe and hopefully my mother would heal. But it's nice to know that it starts with me. It starts with loving myself. Self-love, self-forgiveness, self-connection. It all gets to start with me and that nurturing. And through that, I feel like a lot of healing gets to take place everywhere. It feels good to have made it through that space of, ugh, it was really, really hard. And I didn't do any spiritual bypassing. I didn't like try to distract myself away from it. I felt it like a teaspoon at a time a little bit, but yeah, I made it through. And so there's more of the iceberg above the water now. Thanks.
Thanks, Teresa.
All right, shit show ladies. Have you ever had those days where everything just feels so much damn harder than normal and you can't figure out why? I already know the answer to that question is yes. And boy, have I definitely had more than my fair share of those days and totally get just how frustrating this can be. But recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress, lack of sleep, a dysregulated nervous system. It could also be my hormones at play. And that is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Any shit show can do it. Just answer a few questions about what you've been going through and where you're at in life. After taking this quiz, you'll get personalized recommendations to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. So I took this hormone quiz myself. The quiz suggested that my body may be overloaded with estrogen, which is affecting me in all kinds of ways. And one of the recommendations that I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I've definitely noticed a difference. Now, taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's also about investing in our healing journey. And so by taking this quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance, which will allow you to start making small, intentional changes to support you on this healing journey. Whether it's the Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. So if you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find out the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today.
Thank you, Teresa, for sharing that. I've spent so many years gaslighting myself and rationalizing, having compassion for, you know, those who hurt me. You know, when you picked this and put it in the, put it on the page today, I read it and I thought, oh my gosh, like, this is, what did you do? Pick this for me? Because it's everything. It's everything. And I've shared a lot about the fact that I thought I had been through or worked my way through a lot of my childhood stuff by doing step work in my other program. And, you know, I didn't even touch the surface. I didn't touch the surface. And I did spiritually bypass. And I did spend a lot of time, really all of my time, seeking to understand other people rather than feeling my own pain, seeking to have more compassion, forgiveness for other people than I did for myself. So, you know, right now I'm in a place where I'm starting to, I'm allowing myself to really feel the sadness and the grief and all the feelings that go along with being neglected, abused, traumatized. You know, I wouldn't even use those words before. I too, you know, because I wasn't sexually abused. I felt that I didn't deserve to use that word. I wasn't worthy. My abuse wasn't worthy of that word. And that's not true. What I find myself doing, and this is why I'm really glad that Teresa just shared what she did, because, you know, I'm always learning. I haven't learned anything. I'm continuing to learn that everything isn't black and white. So I can feel feelings of grief and sadness and anger and disappointment and all those feelings. And I can also feel compassion and understanding and those feelings. But what I notice about myself is that I want to feel those feelings of compassion and understanding. It's easier for me to go there, and I want to stay there more than I want to stay with the pain. So, it's just going to be continued work and being more and more uncomfortable. And the realization of it is helping me, because just hearing what she said was like an aha moment for me, because I felt so proud and I felt so proud of myself that I've gotten to a place where I was feeling, where I was acknowledging the pain and the hurt, but yet I was beginning to feel some understanding. And I'm like, okay, well, that's great. I can feel both. But what I realize is I'm using the other to squash those feelings that I'm not finished feeling. And I guess I'll never finish feeling them. They'll just continue to come and go. They can't overtake. I can't allow them. I mean, I guess, you know, logically, like we talk about, you know, I can't spend every day of my life sitting in a fetal position feeling pain. I mean, I guess I could, but I won't. I won't allow myself to do that. You know, last night something happened with my sister, and it was just a reminder of how close it always is. She did something. She didn't do anything. Something happened that created a response, a trauma response in me. And it was just a response of how abandoned I felt by my family, and specifically my sister, at a time in my life when I needed her. And it also had me thinking that there's so much more that I don't remember that I need to, that I want to bring to surface. So I'm going to stop talking because I could just keep talking about this. But thank you. I'm so happy to be on this meeting today.
Thanks, Lisa. Steven?
Hello. Great, great topic. It goes right in line with something that I've been processing for the past week or so. Magically, Spotify recommended an audiobook that I had never heard of before. It's by Pete Walker called The Tao of Fully Feeling. And I mean, I'm only two chapters in, and honestly, I listened to the first two chapters multiple times because it's so intense that that's about the pace that I can go. But it goes perfectly with this topic. And this topic actually makes me realize that it's not a one-time thing for me. It's a pattern. And what that pattern is in ACA, of course, we talk about a fourth step of taking a blameless inventory. And I've really been focused on that word blameless for quite a while. Flash forward to last week when I heard Pete Walker's version, which is that you have to blame in order to understand that you did not have a part in it. And until you fully understand what you're blaming, I'll say my parents in this case, until you fully understand what you're blaming them for, you cannot jump straight to forgiveness. And putting these two things together today, I realized that that's been my cycle. It's been feeling really low and really hating myself and climbing out of it by realizing, oh, this is from that childhood trauma bullshit. And I start doing the work again, and I start kind of going through, okay, this isn't my fault. This isn't who I am. And then I start to get to where I feel better. And then my inner child wants to start forgiving everybody, because that's what the spirituality in me says. It says, I need to forgive you. And then I do that, and I start going back around my family again. And then I wonder why I'm starting to go downhill. And I think the reality is when people don't change, I mean, it'd be a constant game of blame and forgiveness, blame and forgiveness, blame and forgiveness. And I feel like that's what I've been stuck in. Now, I will also say this, my dad, who's no longer with us, I'm having the opposite happen in my life right now, because he cannot continue to repeat the same bullshit over and over again. And that's given me time to process the fact that all of that stuff that happened in my childhood did not happen in my adulthood. That did not happen to his grandchildren. The man spent 13 years in Al-Anon, and he put forth the work. And I can gratefully say today that I can feel that I've gone through the entire cycle of blaming, which has led me to be able to forgive him and start to have a relationship with him now that he's, I mean, on a pretty deep level, now that he's no longer with us. But the opposite happens with my siblings and my mom. I mean, just thinking about, I mean, I didn't expect it. I guess maybe a little bit I did, but it's like just not even receiving a happy Father's Day from her. I mean, it's just sad. That's the feeling that comes up. And I know she's stuck in her own misery. That's the thing. I'm sure she's dealing with all the past memories of thinking about Father's Day and all that stuff like everybody else is in our family. But even going over there and just seeing her just sit on a tablet the whole time, cold. I mean, it's like the movie The Fucking Sixth Sense when you walk in there. It's like you just get overwhelmed with this death feeling of just the no emotion zone, no feelings allowed. And if that can, I mean, for me to not keep creating these same patterns over and over again, I have to sit there and I have to remember that until actions start changing, then there's no forgiveness. And I'm fine with that. If you want to, it's your choice. In order to protect myself, I mean, I'm going to have to keep you in the blame category until you start putting forth a little bit of effort to make a connection, to heal, any fucking thing. So, I don't know, again, thank you for the topic, and thank you to everybody for your shares. Pretty powerful stuff, so thanks.
Okay, I wrote some shit down, which I never do. But so this thing with these dogs. So I have two, and I took these three because my friend in Oklahoma was like, he had moved them around to like three different counties, and Oklahoma just kills everything. So every 3 days he would go to a different county and move them. So he had just lost his like heart dog. So it was the last week of school. And I'm like, yeah, let's do this. So they came to the house. So I ended up having to take them to the shelter in my town because it's more populated. We thought we could have them be there or whatever. And I could not stop crying. I was like just weeping, and I had to come in with sunglasses, and I'm crying. And so the intake guy is like, are you safe? Come over here onto this bench and like, let's talk about what's going on, because of the emotional reaction that I was having to taking these dogs to the shelter. So then he says, everybody in the shelter right now has at least one animal in their office because of the fears that people in my community are having about deportation. People are abandoning and surrendering animals left and right. There is no full anything. And so what I kind of like processed through this whole thing is that it's a lot easier, and I think it's a protective mechanism for me to zoom out and cry about all the horrible, terrible things that are happening in the whole wide world. And I can just cry forever. And it's a nice release. It's a nice thing to do, but I feel to a certain extent that it is skirting maybe my own pain and maybe my own like connections with what I'm doing. And my friend was very emotional. He's this big giant man with this big giant beard. And so, I feel a little bit like emotions are like just this kind of like soup. And I try to not get in the soup for my life or for a while, but then it's kind of like these fucking dogs, they're so adorable. And it's like, and they're so, but it's also this way for me to, it's hard to explain, but it's like when I was growing up, I could always see what was happening, and I could always see that it was so sad. Like it was just so, like karmically, universally sad, but there were also these beautiful moments within it. And so with these dogs, it was like these beautiful dogs are attached to these, all of these horrible outcomes that are happening in life. But I feel like it's just me not being able to anchor within myself to feel my own emotions. And it's also me needing to work on my own boundaries. And then even my husband is kind of part of it, but like, maybe I didn't tell him that we were going to get some dogs. And so he was pissed, but it's just kind of like, I don't know if I just am evoking like adjacent emotions so I don't have to feel my own. So anyway, I'm also working on my outer child. Oh God. So my outer child is the one that got these dogs. And I also was just wondering if anyone had any ideas about like when your outer child makes decisions that aren't, I mean, this is so now I can't get rid of these dogs. So now there's nowhere to go with these dogs. And so it's a little bit extra and a little bit over. It's becoming more of a thing after I worked through the initial bad choice that I made. And now it's becoming like an ongoing saga. But yeah, I don't know. But the tears that I was crying at the shelter were so intense and extreme. And it was slightly embarrassing after the fact. But then I don't know. I guess it's, I don't know. I don't even know what the words are. Maybe emotional bypassing or like borrowing the sadness of the world so I can just have a good cry. I don't know. Anyway, that's it.
I have so much going on. I don't even know where to begin, but I'm just gonna try not to focus on my heart rate ramping up and just maybe try to tie this into like a win, something that doesn't overwhelm me. But for context, I moved away from my family to Utah. I'm from Pennsylvania, so like I got away. And then when my sister was diagnosed with cancer in March, I was like, okay, I gotta come back and gotta face some people and the truth of some things. I was no contact with my mom at that time. And now, like, I am. My sister, upon her diagnosis, was like, whatever's happening between you and mom, deal with it. So I've had to like feel as if I've swallowed my pride a little bit or wrestled with my ego, but also my inner child to like make a truce of like, okay, like I am, we are working together to help my sister. And this is my choice. I'm making the choices. I'm in control. Like I'm not getting triggered as a kid anymore. But since being home, of course, I am so triggered all the time. Upon my return, I was like insecure about what I could offer to the group. My parents are really good at like getting shit done. They have a lot of connections. Like they know who to contact, doctors, and figuring it out. Same with my older sister, whereas I'm like, I just moved to the woods. So I don't like my sister who got diagnosed is super, we've always been close, but we kind of had some distance when I moved. And so like blessing in disguise, this has definitely brought us closer, and it is like finding like a best friend again, which has been lovely. What I've realized, my strength, or what I like, because I give a shit about this work and my family doesn't, this work meaning like regulating my nervous system and wanting to feel good within and not just pushing through and relating to people only through complaining and being a victim. I understand what my value is here. It like it's my presence. Absolutely. It is my ability to like sit in pain and like be okay with it, because I understand it's human to feel sad and angry. Whereas my parents and my other sister, they're like, they don't want to feel it. They don't like when my sister feels it. They're very much like, let's get through it, like focus on the good. Like, and I see there's value in that, but it's like I'm triggered because like I felt so much as a kid and it was never like acknowledged. It was like, well, write down 10 things you're grateful for, or let's go volunteer and like let's get you out of this funk, where it's like, no, I'm sad and that's okay. Like I need an adult here who understands that. But now I understand I'm that adult for myself and I can be that for me. And that's incredible. Like I've had a lot of really beautiful moments alone through this tragedy. Like I'll just go on walks alone and I'm like, this is lovely. This is such a gift. And yeah, I like see my sister opening up a little bit more with me. She's been stoic and kind of like a lock box during this time, but like my parents had diminished our feelings growing up, which they did, and we experienced that sort of neglect. Like, I'm glad now that I can try to get that power back and let it all hang out and decriminalize, devillainize sadness and anger that is here. Thanks.
Hi, I've been gone so long I forgot how to raise my hand. But it's good to be here, and I just really appreciate everyone showing up and sharing or not. I really relate to the, oh, and also I always think about all the work that you're all doing and sharing and working and raising kids. And dealing with dysfunctional parents, it's like, how do you do it? I don't have any of those challenges. And I just really I am in awe, but I really relate to the reading, all of it I relate to, especially it didn't really affect me. It wasn't that bad. And some I've heard myself think that and say that so many times over the years. And something you said, Andrea, about if I can understand it, then I don't have to feel it. I think that's one of my protectors, coping skills or whatever. If I figure it out, I can fix it. And it's only been, I think since experiencing IFS that, oh, it has nothing to do with figuring it out. It's all this stuff that's in our bodies that just is automatic and ingrained and, just needs to be felt and compassion. Of course it's compassion. That's the key. And then it for me, what's I've just been busy and weird and company and stuff. But tomorrow, Linda Tai is doing a workshop on it's called The Voice Keeps the Score. So it's about trauma of all different kinds and how it affects our ability to express. And so I signed up for it because when I read the email describing the course, I was just like, ah, just tears. And so it's something, it's big for me, whatever it is. I think I mentioned it before. So anyway, that starts tomorrow. So I'll let y'all know how that goes. So it's a big thing for me. So thanks, y'all. Can't wait to hear the recording. I love the recordings. Yeah.